today, and as we do, I just want to kind of set the stage a little bit. As you know, we deal with, the whole spectrum here of dealing with young people, as well as older people, as well as singles, as well as married, and you know, all the other ways in between that we might think of. And so as we do a Mother's Day message, certainly it applies to mothers. Certainly it applies to young ladies who would like to be a mother, that they would take some of these truths to heart and that they would consider them and apply it to their lives. And mothers, you'll see some shortcomings in your own life here. Well, that's all right. Just say, Lord, help me, and apply some of it to your life as well. And I think it should help some of the husbands here and fathers to recognize just what a calling that mothers have to do. And, you know, and it's not an easy job. There's a high standard set for mothers, but to be godly mothers, it's a high standard that the Word of God sets. So husbands, cut your wives some slack and love them for the high calling that they have. And also, for those of you that are survival-minded, we've got a couple of tidbits there. As I was looking at this passage, I thought, here it is again, some survival tips too as well. So if you have your Bibles for this Mother's Day, let's open to the book of Proverbs chapter 31. According to my records, I had not expounded Proverbs 31 since 2002. So if that be correct, it would be time to do it again. Now, how many, by show of hands, when I said Proverbs 31, say, I know where Warren's going? I want to just see it. Hold up your hand. Keep it held up. All right, about a little over half. Okay. Should know that Proverbs 31 is the chapter on a virtuous woman. It's the chapter in the Bible on motherhood. We have the chapters on the love chapter, the chapter on godly motherhood, the chapter on men, which is, anybody want to take a stab at the chapter on men?
Job 29,
thank you. I was thinking 21 or 29. Job 29, thank you. Okay, Fred and Greg beat me. All right, so we have these chapters in the Bible that we better know. All right, help me out. Hebrews chapter 11 is the
faith.
Yeah, see, we have the faith chapter. We were just there this morning, so let's look at Proverbs 31 and the godly mother and wife. All right, we're going to do an exposition here, verse by verse, as we go through this. But for the sake of time, we'll pick up verse 10. But by the way, just in case I just can't, you know, Fred was on a pro-life message last Sunday. Look at verse 8. If you don't have this underlined, underline it. Mark it. Put a big asterisk by it so that you can find this verse. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. The pro-life movement takes this verse very seriously. The babe in the womb cannot speak out and cry out for help. We can't hear its cry for help, even though, you know, when it's being dissected in little pieces and an abortion, it is doing so, but it can't be heard. It's what they call a silent scream. So this is the verse, a key verse. Open Christians, stand up for the unborn. They can't speak. They can't cry out. They can't be heard. And such as are appointed for destruction, and certainly, as Fred mentioned last week, the unborn are appointed for destruction so many times in America. All right, so just have that. Just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. Verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verse 9 can go right with that very well. All right, but we begin in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. This word virtuous is interesting. We're going to talk about this because this mother is a virtuous woman. Virtuous here means a woman of strength. It's not like we would normally think of virtue. If we think of somebody that's virtuous, somebody that's chaste, something of fidelity along that line. But that's not what he's getting at here. Woman of strength. The Hebrew here is a person who's able to take on the formidable task of being a wife and a mother. So that's why I said maybe some, you know, brethren, this is a Mother's Day message. But know that your wife or your spouse has taken on a formidable task here in the role of wife and motherhood. A woman of strength able to take on the formidable task. Let's see how this Hebrew word is used in another passage. Open your Bibles, hold your hand in Proverbs 31, and go to Exodus chapter 18, and you'll find this very interesting. Exodus chapter 18. This is the choosing of elders at the time of Moses and those that would rule by tens, hundreds, and so forth. the leadership as they're democratically, if you would, being elected here, or by the will of the people anyway. Verse 21, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be the rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons." All right? Back to verse 21. "Moreover, thou shalt provide of the people able men." That's the same Hebrew there as a virtuous woman. Able men. People that could really hold up to the task. It's very interesting. Being a godly wife and a mother, it's a holy calling. It's not for the weak and the timid. It's not to be entered into lightly, the role of being a wife and a mother. It's a formidable task to do so under the headship of Jesus Christ and the headship of her husband. Who can find her? This intimates that a virtuous woman is hard to find. Not every woman out there, not every mother, not every wife out there is a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. In other words, she's worth her weight in gold. That would be the modern vernacular. A godly wife and mother is worth her weight in gold. And then I was reminded of the song, "Once you have found her, never let her go." All right? A little different context, but it fits for this one. "Once you have found her, never let her go." All right, verse 11 here. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. Back to Proverbs 31, verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Once again, fidelity is not the main point here. Not that we're not to be faithful to one another. I'm not saying that at all. You obviously understand. But that's not exactly what the point is thrust here. So fidelity is not the main point here, but a trust that she will accomplish that which has been given to her keeping. The authority, the responsibility that has been given to her. She will, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Spoil is the old English word for goods. All right, or booty, you know, that you get in a battle after a battle has been won. So the husband trusts her that she will accomplish that which has been mandated upon her, if you would. No need of spoil. The husband does not have to do the shopping in modern vernacular. Doesn't have to worry that there won't be a meal on the table, so to speak, when he comes home. That's what a godly mother does, is she prepares, a godly wife and mother, she prepares and gets things ready so that he doesn't have to worry about it. And so he trusts that things will be taken care of. Sometimes ladies just don't take care of things in the home. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm just saying it's just what God's called us to do. Fatherhood's not easy either. But it's what God's called us to, and so where God guides, He provides, and where He guides, He equips us for that as well, if we would open our hearts to Him. Verse 12, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She has her husband's and her family's happiness in view, so he doesn't have to worry, because her thrust is she's princess of her home, princess of her castle, and so she works for that end. She's not crying, "Woe is me, such misery, I'm nothing but a housewife." No, she doesn't say that. She recognizes is it a high calling, a holy calling, and she has her family's and her husband's happiness in view. Her character is made up of doing good. She finds fulfillment in doing good in the home. She finds fulfillment in making a nice home. She finds fulfillment in making it a warm home. She finds fulfillment in raising the children. That's what a godly woman does. I got this expression here. It's a crude expression, so I'm not going to use it. But it would illustrate the point. She finds her satisfaction and fulfillment in doing this. It's what makes her tick. There's a good term. This is what makes her tick, is setting a godly home in order. So he doesn't have to worry. Verse 13, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." As a pastor and being a pastor's son, I've seen so many mothers and wives that really don't willingly work with their hands when it comes to the household chores and responsibilities. And even as we read in the book, the ladies of the covenant, those wives that were willing to take people under their roof and be service to them and show hospitality. How difficult it is for many Christian wives and mothers to show hospitality. Tragic, isn't it? She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. The raw material is cheaper than the finished goods, so she gets the raw materials if she can. Now, obviously, in the 21st century America, I don't expect everybody to have a loom. I think Jean may be the only lady here that has a loom, right? Or a spinning wheel. I guess it's a spinning wheel, huh? But I know, I understand that, you know, it's not, but in that day and age it was. But I'll give you an example of how that does apply to us today. There was a young wife that was married in this church, how long have we been? Probably 20 years ago, I'd say, a long time ago. So many of you wouldn't remember her, so don't worry about it. But anyway, she got married, but her mother didn't train her to be a good keeper at home. And so she had a couple over for a dinner, and she wanted to make a lasagna for them, for this couple. And so she got, and she went to the cheese section, and she got pre-grated cheese. In other words, she just didn't get a block of cheese. She got the cheese that was already grated. And then she wanted to do the noodles, and so she didn't get the hard noodles. She got pre-cooked noodles. And by the time she put this dinner together, and she was wanting to do a good job for the guests, she had a very expensive project on her hand. And so she didn't know, she hadn't been taught that it's cheaper if you grate it. Now, I'm not against people getting grated cheese. I mean, Jill does from time to time when, you know, like sometimes you got a big salad going on or something. But I understand that stuff. But by and large, she buys the blocks, right? We're trying to make an illustration here. She works willingly. She seeks wool, flax, and all that kind of stuff. All right, and I think that is a modern-day application. Obviously, God's not calling every one of you to go get a spinning wheel and, you know, get cotton and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe God. But he is saying there is things that you can do, you know, to kind of save a nickel or save a dime here. And certainly, mothers, we need to be training our daughters that they're able to know that if you grate the cheese, get a cheese grater. This lady honestly did not know how to perform that task. So it did get very expensive in the home because she had never been trained in some of those areas and didn't know how to cook the noodles, you know, put a little oil in so they don't stick and all that kind of stuff. See, even some of the dads know how to do that, right? Right, okay, Kevin does too. All right. A lot of you guys. See, so anyway, I think this is what he's talking about here. Verse 14. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She's a good exporter and importer of what it is that she needs and what the family needs. As we look here in the verses, a godly mother is very industrious. She produces things in the home that she can produce and sell those as well to help the family along. And then she brings in those items. She's responsible for bringing those items that the family needs. I use the term here in modern vernacular. She exports and imports. Here's the important thing. She is not just a consumer, but a producer. She is like the merchant ships that bringeth her food from afar. She is not just a consumer, but we're going to see that she is a producer of goods for the home as well. And it's part of her authority and responsibility in the home to do those kinds of things. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household in a portion to her maidens. When nights are long and days are short, she redeems the time. She redeems the time. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Now I got to stop here for just a moment. If you ever read the feminazi Christian magazines that are out there, go to a local Christian bookstore and get a Christian woman's magazine. I'm bored. They have a field day with this verse here in verse 16 of Proverbs 31. She considers a field and buys it. So for them, that the true Proverbs 31 woman is a realtor, a licensed realtor, and she's got maybe several other realty offices under her, and boy, she's just a wheeler dealer when it comes to property. And I mean, this is true. I'm not making this up. This is what the true Christian woman is out there, you know, amongst all the men, really, you know, wheeling and dealing and doing all this great stuff for the family. That's not what it's talking about at all. Very simply, there was a field that was contiguous to her own, and it came for sale, and she bought it. And she said, you know what? I can increase the family stay here, the family estate and the family farm, because this property next to mine has come for sale. And she says, it's at a good deal, so I'm going to buy that property. Not that she becomes a realtor with all kinds of entanglements in the affairs of this life. But note, men, she has the authority. She has the authority to buy that field. Do it. There's some men that wouldn't give their wives that liberty. Hope, men, that you husbands, you give your wives some liberty to buy a few things or make a business venture or something along that line a bit. She has an opportunity to strike while iron's hot. Strike while iron's hot. All right. So I'm surprised I'm not getting any amens, but that's all right. We'll go on anyway. We'll go on anyway. All right. Now she plants this vineyard for the future context. A vineyard. She buys this land, she plants a vineyard, it says, because from that vineyard is going to come wine for drink, medicine for the needs of health issues that arise, and also it can be used for sacrifice, because in those days, the grapes and the wine was used for sacrificial purposes. So she considers a field, verse 16, she buys it with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard, she gets involved in the planting, and because it has future consequences. Remember, as Paul says in Corinthians, that the parents lay up an inheritance for the children. So this is part of that. Building, the Amish have a good handle on this, providing for their family to build generationally. So where we should be thinking in terms generationally. So she's thinking in terms generationally here. Now, her husband's got a good job, we'll find out. He's got money, but money. Remember that money and the blessings that we do in our increase is to be used for the kingdom's sake. It's a tool of dominion. So when she buys this field and plants it, it's a tool of dominion. So there's nothing wrong with having wealth and having large sums of wealth if the wealth is being used as a tool for the kingdom of God and for dominion. That's why God prospers us. It's for dominion, all right? So as long as we're aware of that, man, have at it. Okay. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She takes care of her health. What that means is, as I looked this up and studied it, she takes care of her health through useful labor and exercise. She's not a couch potato. Unfortunately, many wives, many mothers are couch potatoes, and they don't have useful labor and exercise, and so their arms are weak. They're not strong with the work that oftentimes that should entails with being a godly wife and mother. The Navy SEALs have a saying, a person with a strong stomach is a strong person. All right? The idea here is there is strength when you do your sit-ups and you do your stomach, your abdomen exercises. There's an overall strength that's given even to your other limbs, if you would. So that's basically what's going on here. She works. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness, the scriptures tells us. So she doesn't have these problems with obesity because of her work. All right. She girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. I like that because it says she produces a quality product. If we can produce a product, we want to produce a quality product. Remember the old term, craftsmanship, American, made in American. Made in America meant something, right, years ago. Meant craftsmanship, quality. The Chinese, they took the word heavy duty, and heavy duty doesn't mean anything anymore, right? Now they had to change it. Heavy duty meant something at one time. Most of you remember heavy duty meant something. That wrench was heavy duty. That drill was good. It was going to last. It was heavy duty. Well, now we have to say commercial quality or industrial quality because the Chinese ripped us off. But heavy duty doesn't mean heavy duty anymore. And so you don't want to get something heavy duty. You've got to get something commercial or industrial quality that's going to last, right? But there was a time an American toaster was going to last forever. There's still, every now and then, I hear stories of a light bulb that's been on someone's front porch for 30 years and still hasn't gone out. Because they made the filaments a lot thicker and they weren't meant to go out, in 3 or 4 months. We have to change light bulbs all the time. I don't know if you do. So we have to change light bulbs. But anyway, craftsmanship, things done as unto the Lord. That's dealing with that scripture verse. Whatever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. Don't make a cheap product. Make a good quality product if you possibly can. And so that's what this verse is saying here, that this woman considers this. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. While others sleep, she works. While others sleep, she works. So I said, cut some slack. A godly wife and motherhood is it's a calling. It's a calling. It's a tough. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Quality products. While others sleep, she works. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. There we're talking about spinning wheel and all that. Since in our day it's not so practical to do that, although it's a good skill for survival, those that have those skills and looms and things like that, and some of the sisters practice these different types of crocheting and knitting skills, they're there for survival. It's a good thing. I think a modern application would be that she has skill with a sewing machine, and so that she is able to mend garments, make garments, and I think that would be a very good modern application. All wives and mothers should have a sewing machine and be able to do just the minimal work in that area. You don't have to be a quote-unquote a seamstress, but you should have the minimum things that you're able to do. And mothers, you should be training your daughters to be able to do those minimal skills, like put in a zipper, right? Young ladies, can you put in a zipper? All right, or those types of skills I see. Okay, Deb, I see Cisco and Montana. Can you guys put in a zipper? All right, mother's going to have to get with you then. All right. Auntie's going to have to get with you there, Montana. Okay, these are simple. These are just basic skills that the young ladies need to know how to do. It doesn't mean that she's a professional seamstress. All right. Verse 20, she stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Godly mother and wife is truly charitable, looks for occasions to bless. Hold your hand in Proverbs 31. Go with me to Psalms 41. I believe this is a good verse to be aware of. Psalms 41. Psalm 41, verse 1 says, blessed is he, or in this case, she, either way is all right, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Hebrew word there not only is poor financially, but weak, the needy, people that are weak and needy. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Now, this is a verse with a promise to it. We are mindful of the poor, that we can bless the poor and the needy. That's why it's important for Christians to have good jobs, if at all possible. And I know sometimes we're not in the best of an environment here, or economy. Because if we have a job, if we're stable at work, we can bless others. There's a pseudo-spiritual thing that floats around the church from time to time. I get into it every once in a while, but not that often. And we dealt with it, I think, a few weeks ago. There's a superficial that if you're really a Christian, you're just itinerant. You don't make any money. You don't, like Jesus said, this, you know, Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head, and they take that verse out of context. And so, you know, everybody that's, and this is how the cults thrive, everybody that's truly a Christian and sold out for God, they're going to sell their home, and they're going to go on the street like the apostles did, you know, as Jesus sent them out two by two, and so that they're not going to have any money. Well, that's not what the scripture is talking about there, and there's a context for those things. And sometimes it appears to be super pious and super spiritual. I don't have any place to live, and I'm out on the street. I'm ministering for the Lord. I sold my home. I'm giving all that I have to God. All right, what about the poor person that comes to you and has a need? We should have ability to give alms and offerings to the poor and needy. And so this woman, her home is blessed. They have resources. They buy what a poor person might need. We need to do that. And there's a promise here. The Lord will consider you in the time of trouble. And I believe, friend, that the time of trouble is coming upon us possibly very soon. And I would certainly like the Lord to consider me and not forget me in the time of trouble. All right. So back to Proverbs 31. This is just talking about a godly wife and mother. She considers the poor and reaches out to them. Job 29, talking about the godly man, just for a second here, he says that Job, as a godly man, considered the poor, and he was even at the deathbed of those that were dying. He would run to their aid and help and comfort them as they crossed over. There's a lot that can be done there. All right. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's prepared for the rainy or the snowy day. And we do a lot of talking here about being prepared for the rainy day. So a godly wife and mother, loving her home, considers that, you know what, the rainy day might come, the snowy day, the day of the earthquake, the day of calamity, whatever it might be, the day of the breakdown of society, the collapse of the dollar, whatever it is, and she's moving her home to prepare for that day of calamity. So that certainly, I believe, that means by preparations of food storage and all those kinds of issues that we discuss. In this particular case, it's her, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now we miss the thought here unless we have to go back to the Hebrew. Scarlet in the Hebrew here, it's twice dyed. D-Y-E-D, twice dyed. In other words, there's a double garment is what's being spoken of here. Not just a pretty red. I see three ladies got red, four ladies got red on, five ladies have red on today, whatever. It's not just the color necessarily, but to get the true red, it had to be twice dyed. And so in the Hebrew root here is, it's double garments. You got one cloak, but you need your winter clothing as well. So we all should have winter boots, winter coats, long johns, for our double garments, that sort of thing. That's what it's talking about here. This mother has prepared her family. She's not worried if snow comes or we have an extended period of rain because her family has double garments. They're prepared for the rainy or the snowy day. This is spirituality. It may not seem like it's very spiritual preaching, but this is spirituality that the church world does not understand to a large degree. They want to go, let's get real spiritual today, and just start yelling and talking about faith or whatever. This is faith on a different level. This is a different kind of faith. Faith that God will sustain us in a day-in and day-out life. All right? So the very spiritual message here, because spirituality is practical. God is a practical person. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, what does he do? What did he do first before he fed them? Prayed them. What else did he do? He set them up. He took the 5,000 and he set them in companies of 50. He's organized. Christianity is organized. It's practical. We have a practical Lord who does practical things and expects us to be practical in our Christian life. So he feeds the multitudes. He says, sit them down in 50s. Let's do this organized and in a practical fashion. Some of you that have the gift of organization, step up and help us in our organization skills. I don't know. I wouldn't say that I have the gift of organization, but I like to be organized, but I don't think that's necessarily my gift. Gifting, some are very gifted at that. All right. And I think some of you, I think Joanne has stepped forward with organization. She wants to, Verpi, they're working on that, on the emergency preparedness room, and so she's organizing it. There's organizational skills there that, I just set it on the shelf, so she's wanting to organize it, which is good. All right. That's right. That's where organization pays off. It pays off. That's the problem with us survivalists is we got a whole bunch of stuff, but it's not organized. I've seen that over and over again, and I'm guilty there. I'll raise my hand, too. It's not organized like it should be. And I got all kinds of pipe fittings. They should be better in drawers, half inch, three quarter inch. You men know what I'm talking about. As survivalists, we got a lot of it, but it should be better organized. All right, and I am working on it. Okay, so she's not afraid of the snow, verse 21, or her household, because she's prepared. They have double garments on. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Coverings of tapestry. This here in the Hebrew, again, it brings out the thought that she has made provisions for her guests. This is, again, a sign of hospitality. In those days, you didn't make the bed, so to speak. You laid out the tapestry and you laid it out for them, and it was a nice thing. We had a bed here some time back, and I said, I said for guests, and I said, this is not good stewardship. This bed is... I wouldn't want to sleep on this bed. Let's get it out of here, I told Jill. I said, I can't live before God with this piece of junk in our home. Let's get a bed that, it'd be an honor for a guest to sleep on so he doesn't hurt his back and can't walk the next day. So that's what's talking. She lays out the tapestry. She lays out a good roll for the guests. Talking about practical Christianity here. Talking about practical Christianity. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. And then... she's made provision for guests in silk and purple. How do we make an application? Those are fine garments, fine materials. Ladies, mothers, wives, you have the pastor's permission to go run down to Macy's and get something nice. That's a bit of a joke. You can check with your husbands. But that's a fun. Let's have some. But that's nice, feminine. Walk feminine, talk feminine. That's from another song. Well, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, but it's very appropriate. There's a beauty to femininity. There's a loveliness to elegance. And mothers, just because you're a mother doesn't mean that you're not also your husband's lover and that you're also can't look nice and, you know, have some pretty feminine things around. And I think this godly mother has that. We're talking about being very practical. This is practical Christianity. So I'll have a little silk and purple and wear your nylons and all that kind of good stuff. And if you need to go to Macy's, check with your husband. He may want you to go to Ross instead. Cheapskate husband, better go to Macy's. All right. I'm glad we're having some fun in church this morning. Good. I'm glad I'm getting a laugh out of you. This is Mother's Day. Let's have some fun. All right. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. This is a bit of a transition here. It's kind of an interesting thing. So let's see what Adam Clark in his commentary says on this verse. Her husband is known in the gates, and we know what the gates are, place of making civil decisions and judges. That's where the judges were back in those days. Sitteth among the elders of the land. Adam Clark says, he is respected, and I like this, watch this now, because he is the husband of a woman who is justly held in universal esteem. Don't miss this. This is very interesting. Clark says, the husband's respected in the gates because he is the husband, you usually think of it the other way around, the husband of a woman who is justly held in universal esteem. Her complete management of household affairs gives him full leisure to devote himself to the civic duties of the community. And we, you know, I was just thinking a few weeks ago when I talked about, in case something was to happen to me, about those moving into a position of eldership. And I said, Colin is very qualified for the position for a number of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because he's got Carol. That's this scripture right here, and I didn't even know it. I said, Colin is qualified for eldership because of Carol. And so that's exactly, I like that, that's exactly what he's talking about here. The husband can be respected in the city gates because his wife and the mother of his children is so respected by the town. Isn't that interesting? That's exactly what Clark is saying, and I believe that's what the scripture is teaching. Her complete management of household affairs gives him full leisure to devote himself to the civic duties of the community. And of course, that's the Job 29 man. He's very involved in the civil sphere. I tell you what, we fight that with all of our might here at the church at Queen. It just seems like some men, it rolls like water off a duck's back. You need to be involved, and it's like pulling teeth to get them to come to a civil, to get involved in civic affairs at all. It just blows my mind, but nonetheless. But just anyway, this man was involved in civic affairs in his community. All right, and it was the scriptural, it's the godly thing to do. All right, verse 24, she makes fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Those girdles can be various types of, not like as we normally think of a woman's girdle today, just different types of wrappings and clothing. And then there's a head girdle, and different kinds of, like the turbans, that kind. A lot of different things can be for girdle there, different types. All right. In the eastern countries, cloths and various garments are very ornate, and she dabbles in this. She dabbles in this as well. She's got her fingers in a lot of areas that the home. See, the feminazis of today, they say, "Oh, you know, get us." The whole thing is get the woman out of the home. She's limited. In this context, you can see that this woman is not limited. She's having a tremendous influence in society, and such an influence, as we just talked about a minute ago, that her husband's well respected in the city gates. So it's a lie of Satan to say, "Woman, get out of the home." And boy, I've seen so many Christians, even today, not in this necessarily this church, but I mean, as I have you know, my Christian friends and relatives, other places and other churches, and they got to get a trade. The woman's got to have a trade, got to have a job, got to get them a college education, got to get our daughter through college, and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, they can't find scripture for it, but all right. So verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I like this. Strength and honor are clothing. She lives a life of virtue, and whatever her hand finds to do, she does it with all her might so that she can rest knowing that she has done all that she can do. Strength and honor are clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. The day when, you know, the Bible says work for the night is coming, and work is, there'll be a time when you can't work. So there's a time when, in her old age, when she's unable to do those things, she has a very fulfilled, a very satisfied life. Like Paul, at the end of his life, he said, the time of my offering is now at hand. I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge shall give me at that day. So he lived a life fully for the Lord. And so there's a point where this mother lives her life at the end of her days, she rests in the fact that she had a very full life. She's not wondering. She doesn't like Glenn Campbell saying the dreams of the everyday housewife. She doesn't have that dream. She is satisfied in that which she has done in her life. And there's a real satisfaction to it. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When she opens her mouth with wisdom, that is, she's not neglected to cultivate her mind and spirit. Maybe she read Patriots. We'll talk about that in a minute. A novel of survival in the coming collapse. I don't know. I'm not necessarily recommending it for the mothers, but maybe she has, because there's a lot of wisdom in there. That's why we're going to talk about it at the announcement time. But whatever. She's reading. She's putting something into her mind. She's seeking the Lord with others so that she has wisdom to offer. She has not neglected to cultivate her mind and her spirit amongst all her other duties. And then I love this phrase. My dad liked this verse a lot, this clause. And her tongue is the law of kindness. A godly mother, a godly wife has a tongue that is kind. Too often, many sisters, many mothers, many wives have the poison of asps under their lips, and they have anything but the law of kindness in their mouth. And it makes them very ugly. It's like a woman with a cigarette in her mouth. I'm sorry, that just doesn't look pretty. And a woman with an unkind tongue is not feminine or pretty either. And so in her tongue is the law of kindness. We've got some sisters at the church that need to work on this, that their tongue would have the law of kindness. Beautiful, the law of kindness. All right, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. The proprieties are observed in her household. She's teaching this is the way that Christians act. This is the way that we're to act. A good example of that that you had in the old days, or this, be like this. You are a Feinberg, this lady could say here in Proverbs 31, and Feinbergs don't do such and such. Bring it to the modern day vernacular. You are a Smith, and the Smiths don't act like animals. You are a Smith, and the Smiths serve God. It's like what I love to give the illustration of R.C. Sproul Jr. When he trains his children and he catechizes his children. And he says, and catechism is, you know, just a teaching. And he says, whom do Sprouls fear? And the children are to answer back in a catechistic fashion. The father asks, whom do Sprouls fear? This is talking about the R.C. Sproul Jr. family. And the children are to answer back, Sprouls fear no man. Sprouls fear Christ. Isn't that good catechism? Whom do Sprouls fear? You're a Sproul. You're a Smith. You're a Feinberg. We don't act that way here. A lot of times with our kids as they were growing up, we are Campbells. You can't do what all the other kids are doing. And sometimes even in the church, you can't do what other kids are doing in the church. You're a Campbell. You can't act that way.
And you don't fear a judge.
And you don't fear a judge. All right. Sproul's fear no judges. Sproul's fear Christ. All right. Okay, that's right. We don't want to fear that. But you get the point there. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She sees these things. The proprieties are observed in her household. It's a godly home. It's a home representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. There's a great respect given by the husband and by the children. That's what this is talking about. There's a great respect. Godly mothers, even with their imperfections. Godly mothers have imperfections, need praise and commendation. And that's why a day like today, it's good to take Mother's Day and reflect and give praise to those mothers who, and really with genuine heartfelt thanks, I appreciate you, God, you mothers here today that you know, leading your households, bringing them in, raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not easy, and I recognize that. It's not easy. All right, let's finish up here, verse 29 and 30. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Here's the summation. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, that's what it is. It's in summation. Why is she doing all these things? Because she fears the Lord. She shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Women that fear God, they are really few and far between. We've given the illustration before about, after we unincorporated the church about 12 years ago, Dad and I sat down, and at that time there were 7 families where the husband wanted to come to the church at Kaweah, but the wives wouldn't let him. Now that's an issue in itself. That's a problem. You know, who's wearing the pants in the family? But the wives were fearful, more fearful of man than they were of Almighty God, and so we lost the benefit of those families because the wives were so fearful. But a woman that fears God, hallelujah, she shall be praised. This is the lasting beauty. As physical beauty fades, and the favor that goes with it, we all appreciate a beautiful, I mean, we should be able to appreciative of young ladies that are beautiful and women that are beautiful, and I'm appreciative of them. I appreciate beauty, but we recognize that physical beauty fades, and the favor that tends to go with it. But there is the lasting beauty, which Scripture calls, which Peter says is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's a beauty that never fades. If a woman has the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. All the meek has all this authority. Ed likes me to use the illustration. What does meek mean? Because Jesus said, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. The church world doesn't understand. Meek, the best example of meek, is a racehorse that is broken to the jockey's commands. A racehorse has all kinds of power. I mean, it's just ready to explode. The strength in the loins and the legs of a racehorse, all this strength, and it's controlled by a small bit and a small rein in the horse's mouth. That's what it means to be meek. You have all kinds of power, all kinds of authority, but it's controlled, it's tempered to your master. And so this woman here, this person, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is, she has all kinds of authority in her home and in the realm in which she is princess and has power, but it's held, it's kept in check for the purpose for which it's ordained and doesn't go outside that purpose. She has the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's a beautiful aspect of femininity, to have a meek and quiet spirit. And it lasts the test of time, where the physical beauty fades rather quickly. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. There is, as I mentioned, the joy of a satisfied life, one that is well lived, and it brings rest at the end of one's days. Father, we thank you for godly women. We thank you for godly wives and mothers. Lord, we are appreciative of this gift and this calling, this high calling of motherhood. And it is a high calling, Lord, and it is fraught with a lot of work and a lot of effort. But I thank you for that virtuous woman. Lord, they're few and far between, but I thank you that they're here at the church at Kaweah today. Lord, even with the various imperfections, they're here. So, Father, we ask your special blessings upon the mothers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.